Hello, everybody. This is Louisa Dyer, and you've joined me for Conscious Co-Creating, a new show here at Western North Carolina Community Media Center. I'm not going to say that again. I'm going to say UR Radio. We hope you listen every Thursday evening from 8 to 9 Eastern as we focus on personal empowerment and spiritual evolution. Tonight, we're going to focus on how you can find out the truth about anything, and especially how to formulate questions so that you're more likely to get accurate answers. I'd love your comments or questions, and you can submit those through the Facebook page for Conscious Co-Creating Online Radio, and we can connect in real time. This is my first night doing this show by myself, and I'm very excited about that. And I will ask for your patience in the beginning as I learn how to do this. So we'll talk for a while and then we'll play some music. And to get this topic started, I'm going to read a little something from the foreword in David Hawkins' book, Power Versus Force. And for those of you who do not know who David Hawkins is, he's an enlightened being. He's written many, many books. He's a PhD. He's very well known all over the world, actually. He has consulted with governments everywhere. He's actually knighted. And his first, well, not his first, but three of his books, the Power Versus Force trilogy, are, I tell you, some of the best books I've ever read. But anyway, we're going to start with Power Versus Force, and I'm going to read a little something from the foreword, and then we'll go from there. Imagine, what if you had access to a simple yes or no answer to any question you wish to ask, a demonstrably true answer to any question? Think about it. There's the obvious. Jane is seeing someone else. Yes or no? Johnny is telling the truth about school. Yes or no? But it's only a short step to, this is a safe investment. Yes or no? This career is worthy of my pursuit. Yes or no? What if everyone had such access? Staggering implications suggest themselves immediately. Think again. What would happen to our ponderous and all too often flawed judicial system if there was a clear, confirmable answer to the proposition John Doe is guilty as charged? Yes or no? What would happen to politics as we know it? If all of us could ask the question, candidate X honestly intends to fulfill this campaign promise, yes or no? And all of us got the same answer. And what would happen to advertising, period? You get the idea. But the idea gets bigger, fast. If, as has been said, man learned to lie an hour after he learned to talk, then a phenomenon such as the one we're discussing would be the genesis of the most fundamental change in human knowledge since the beginning of society. The transformations it would wreck in fields from communications to ethics, in our most basic concepts, in every detail of daily existence, would be so profound that it's difficult to even conceive what life would be like in a subsequent new era of truth. The world as we know it would be irrevocably changed, right down to its very roots. And that, of course, is the subject of what we're going to be talking about tonight. And the fact is, there really already is a way to do that, and that's called kinesiology. And kinesiology is a simple muscle test, a very simple definition. Kinesiology is the study of muscles and their movements, especially as applied to physical conditioning. It's very simple. The basis of kinesiology, which we're not going to really get into here tonight, I'm not going to try to tell you how to do kinesiology. I'm just going to let you know that there are lots and lots and lots and lots of places where you can learn how to do kinesiology. And David Hawkins is one of those places, any of his stuff. Michelle Wright of Paralandra is another place. There are lots and lots of books on kinesiology. And rather than try to talk about each one of those or figure out how to do that. What we're going to do instead is just say that kinesiology has been around for about 25 years. It's been around actually longer than that, but for 25 years, it's been a very respected science. It's been shown to be accurate, and it's been double-blind tested with thousands and thousands and thousands of people. It generally takes two people to do kinesiology, although there are a lot of methods out there for learning to do kinesiology with yourself. And the basic idea is really very simple, is if a muscle stays strong, then you get a positive or a yes response. If the muscle goes weak, you get a not yes response. You're not really getting a no response. You're just getting a not yes response. And so kinesiology was really pioneered by a guy named Dr. George Goodhart, and he worked with something called applied kinesiology. And then in the late 70s, another guy, Dr. John Diamond, refined that specialty into a discipline called behavioral kinesiology. And he made it a really startling discovery. And that was that the indicator muscles would strengthen or weaken in the presence of positive or negative emotional and intellectual stimuli, as well as to physical stimuli. A smile will make you test strong, while the statement, "I hate you," will make you test weak. And so that was sort of the state of kinesiology when David Hawkins entered the picture. It was a very well-established science based on the testing literally over 25 years. And then David Hawkins came along and discovered something very unique and wonderful. And that is that test subjects don't need to have any conscious acquaintance with the substance or the issue being tested. In a lot of double-blind studies, for example, in mass demonstrations involving entire lecture audiences, subjects universally tested weak in response to unmarked envelopes containing artificial sweetener, and strong to identical but placebo envelopes. And so you didn't have to know what you were testing in order for the testing to work. And so it was really quite exciting to be in that place where you could test anything and you didn't have to know what it was. And so it became a reliable way to test. And so out of that, David Hawkins actually developed a whole map of consciousness that he designed this whole thing, and it's really quite incredible, this whole map of consciousness where you can tell if something registers at a very low level or something registers at a very high level. And you don't have to know what that is. It can be a completely double-blind study. So what he's really shown over the last 15 or 20 years is that you can find out what is true just by simply forming a question in the correct way. So I just want everybody to think about that. You could know the answer. You can find out the truth about anything. Think about that for a moment. You can find out the truth about anything. What would that be like in your life if you could find out the truth about anything? That would be pretty incredible, wouldn't it? And so that's what we're going to really talk about here tonight, is how do you go about finding the truth about anything? First of all, you have to know how to present a question. And that's really what I wanted to talk about. I don't want to spend this whole time convincing anybody that kinesiology works, because that's already been done. I just want to present the idea that all truth is knowable and that we can know that truth. And kinesiology is a very, very, very simple way to know that truth. So while you're thinking about that, I'm going to see if I can figure out how to play some music for you. And then we will come back and we will talk about that. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to play the song that we walked in with, Raikouter, again, because that's a song that really, you can feel that in your soul, you can feel that in your body, and it's a great song. So let's hear a little bit more Raikouter, and then we'll come back and talk. So I wanted to tell you just a little bit about David Hawkins, and I'm just going to read a little bio that's on the back of the book, Power Versus Force. Dr. David R. Hawkins is a renowned lecturer and expert on mental processes, whose national TV appearances include the McNeil-Layer News Hour and the Today Show. He's a lifetime member of the American Psychiatric Association. He began work in psychiatry in 1952. And since relinquishing his extensive New York practice for a life of research, he continues spiritual teaching. He is the author of numerous scientific papers and videotapes. And in 1973, he co-authored the innovative work called Orthomolecular Psychiatry with the Nobel Prize winner Linus Pauling. And Dr. Hawkins' extensive background as a therapist and teacher is noted in his biographical listing in Who's Who in America. And he's currently the director of the Institute for Advanced Theoretical Research. And so basically what Dr. Hawkins does is focus on consciousness and has created this wonderful map of consciousness where you can see where different human emotions and different human attitudes and ideas, literally where they calibrate on that level and that map of consciousness. And so he's a very fascinating person to read. And so he's the one who took kinesiology from this understanding of, you know, you bring a positive substance into contact with the body and the muscle stays weak. You bring a noxious substance into contact with the body and the muscle goes weak. Positive, it stays strong. Negative, it goes weak. He took that where everybody thought that kinesiology was about understanding that the body itself had some, you know, very subconscious wisdom. And so the body would know what was good for it and what was not good for it. And that's how we understood kinesiology for a very long time. And then David Hawkins realized that you could also use kinesiology with emotional issues, with mental processes. And so he became aware that it was much more than the wisdom in the body. And in fact, you didn't even have to bring whatever it was you were testing in contact with the body. You could just hold it in mind. And so what Hawkins discovered and has spent the last 25 years working with hundreds of thousands of people is showing that truth is knowable in everything that has ever occurred in what we think of as reality. Everything leaves an imprint. And so it's possible to know the truth about anything that has ever been or is now. You cannot know the truth about the future because the future does not exist, but you can know the truth about anything that exists right now or anything that has ever been. And so working with that, it's incredible. You can find out the truth about anything you want to know. In years of working with this myself, I was very fortunate in the 80s, actually in 1980, to learn how to use a pendulum. And because I had already been playing around with kinesiology, I learned how to use a pendulum the same way that somebody else would use kinesiology. And I can do either one of those, but the pendulum for me is easier. And what I've discovered in years of teaching people how to do kinesiology and work with a pendulum is the way you present a question matters greatly. Because if you ask a question, for example, do I need to do this? You're not going to get an accurate answer because in truth, need doesn't exist. In the universe, in, you could say, God's eye, need doesn't exist. So if you ask a question that has some framework within it that doesn't really exist, you're not going to get an accurate answer. So if you ask a question that says, do I need to do this? No telling what sort of answer you're going to ask. The same thing is true for the word should. Should I do this? Well, should doesn't exist. It's a made-up concept. And so to frame a question in the form of should or need, you're not going to get an accurate answer. The same thing is true of putting the word not in the sentence. So should I not do this? Is it good for me to not do this? That would not be a great way to ask a question, because not doesn't exist. And so when you're wanting to learn how to work with kinesiology or work with a pendulum, if that's your preferred way of working, the first thing you have to do is figure out how to ask questions where you're using words that actually mean something. It's the same way if you want to say, is this good for me? Well, good is a very wide open, very non-specific question to ask. Is this good for me? What does that mean? Does that mean, is it good for me in terms of will it bring me money? Is it good for me in terms of will it bring me lessons that my soul wants to learn? Is it good for me relative to what? And so a really important thing to understand is clarity really matters. So if you're wanting to know if something's good for you, for example, then you would want to ask a question much more specifically. For example, it serves my financial well-being to pursue this career. Now, that's very specific. You could get an accurate answer. If you just say, is it good for me to do this? The answer might be relative to something you haven't even considered. So basically what you're wanting to do is set up a parameter where, is this good for me in terms of my financial well-being? You could ask a question that way. You noticed with the examples that we were giving in the book before that they were all very specific. Someone did this. Someone said that. Someone means this. Someone intends to do this. Those are all very action-oriented. And those types of things are very easy to find out the truth about. One of the things that Hawkins really talks about a great deal, and so do a lot of other people actually who practice kinesiology or muscle testing, we're going to call it that because that's a simpler phrase, I suppose, or people who use a pendulum, and that is not to really ask a question at all, to really make a statement rather than ask a question. You're going to get, again, much more accurate answers if you are actually making statements rather than asking questions. So if you say, does this serve my financial well-being to do this? You might get a different response than if you just make that into a statement and say, this serves my financial well-being to pursue this. You're going to either get the muscle response where it stays strong, which means yes, or the muscle is going to go weak, which means no. And one of the things that's really also important to understand when you're learning to ask questions to try to discover the truth is that non-truth doesn't really exist. You know, it's like there's truth and then there is not truth. So there's never a no response. That's what I'm really saying. It's not like the muscle's staying strong when it's yes and the muscle's going weak and that means no. What it really means is when there's truth, which is a yes answer, you stay strong because truth makes you strong. And if you, you know, present a question or a statement and there's no truth there, then the muscle goes weak. So it's like it's a yes or a not yes. It's not really a yes or a no. It's a yes and a not yes. And that's a really sort of, it's like an interesting detail, but it's actually very important to understand. Because when you really understand that, then you won't get confused if you ask a question and then you ask what seems like the opposite question and you get a yes response on both of them. What does that mean? Or you get a not yes response on both of them. What does that mean? That just means you haven't asked the appropriate question yet. So if you say, for example, it serves my highest good to pursue this course of action, and you get a strong, the muscle stays strong, you get a yes response, and then you say, it serves my, it's detrimental to my highest good to pursue this option, and you also get a truth response, a yes, a strong response, then what you're looking at is you're going, oh, there's part of this that's really going to serve me, and there's part of the way that I'm thinking about this anyway that is going to be detrimental to me. So I'm not trying to make it complicated. I'm just trying to show that I've done a lot of training with teaching people how to do kinesiology and using a pendulum and all of that through the years. And what I notice is that people have tested and they get a yes response, and then they go and they take an action based on that yes response, and they don't like the results. They don't like the consequences. And so then they begin to not trust the response. They don't trust whether they think they're talking to their higher self, or, you know, they tend to not trust because they didn't like the response. What it really means is that you didn't ask enough questions. You didn't get enough clarity. When you're asking really simple questions like, is this true or is this not true, then that's simple. There's no ambiguity there. But when you're asking questions about, does it serve my highest good, for example, to pursue this course, or is it beneficial for me to be in this relationship? Well, there's probably 25 different ways you could ask that question, or 25 different facets or aspects of that relationship, for example, that unless you question that, you don't really know. And so kinesiology is an incredible tool, and you can know the truth about anything. And if you learn to use a pendulum in the correct way, to where you're actually testing for the truth instead of just testing what your belief system is, which is usually what's happening when people are using a pendulum, they're testing just what their conscious or their subconscious belief systems are. In order to use a pendulum to know what the truth is instead of just knowing what you actually think, then what you have to do is you have to, first of all, release all fear of knowing the truth. And for a lot of us, that's a real issue, especially if you're asking about something that's important to you. You want to believe a certain thing, or you want something to be a certain way. And so before you can actually find out what the truth is, you have to be willing to know what the truth is. And one of the quickest ways to do that is to simply make the statement, I release all fear of knowing the truth. Because if we didn't actually have any fear of knowing the truth, we would probably actually intuitively know it. So that statement, I release all fear of knowing the truth. If you really want to know what truth is, if you really want to be able to trust your own intuition, then that's where to begin. I release all fear of knowing the truth. And then you can find out the truth in lots of ways besides kinesiology. But that's a way to get really, really clear. The issue with kinesiology, of course, is that it's much more accurate, usually, and easier when two people are doing it. And a lot of people use a pendulum because that's something you can do on your own. But it's much different using a pendulum than it is kinesiology. And I'm not going to try to teach how to do either one of those things. But it doesn't matter which you're doing. If you release the fear of knowing the truth, you're much more likely to actually know what the truth is. And so I'm going to pause there for a moment, and I'm going to play a little music while we think about that. And what I am going to attempt to do is play a song by one of my favorite people, favorite groups here to hear. And this song is called Waking Journey.
Giving birth to infinite possibilities to love. of our mountains, we each have our own pains. We speak in the same language when we cry and when we laugh. Our children are our children, they each deserve a chance to blossom into flowers, reach towards the sun and dance. For every breath's an invitation to be the love.
And that was Here to Hear. Walk With Me. Beautiful music, beautiful group. And so, are we thinking about that yet? That all truth is knowable. One of the big motivators for David Hawkins in doing this kind of work was coming to understand that the human brain really doesn't have a way to tell truth from falsehood. And it is actually a function of how our brains work. And all you have to do is look at human history, and you can really tell that. Over and over and over and over throughout human history, we have been, you know, we've done crazy things. Whole populations have followed crazy people. And why do we do that? That's because we cannot tell truth from falsehood. And so this idea that there is a way to tell truth from falsehood about anything is a very powerful originally in the 70s, the way I was turned on to kinesiology was chiropractors using it because they could tell what was going on in the body by testing a muscle and testing that part of the body, and I thought that was pretty fascinating. But today, to know that we can find out the truth about anything, if we know how to present the question, if we can release our fear of knowing the truth, there's something incredibly powerful about that, and it really can change who we know ourselves to be. And the reason that everything is knowable, the reason that all truth is knowable, I just want to read another quote from Power versus Force. This is on page 149. And Hawkins says, "Everything in the universe constantly gives off an energy pattern of a specific frequency that remains for all time and can be read by those who know how. Every word, deed, and intention creates a permanent record. Every thought is known and recorded forever. There are no secrets. Nothing is hidden, nor can it be. Our spirits stand naked in time for all to see. Everyone's life, finally, is accountable to the universe. That's pretty powerful. That is a pretty powerful idea that anything that has ever been can be known if we're willing to release the fear of knowing the truth and we're willing to put our question about it in a declarative statement instead of a question form. And we're willing to accept that truth exists and to let go of things that don't exist, like concepts such as should or need, and we can actually know the truth about anything. Most of the time, what I discover with people is that we don't really want to know the truth. Because when we know the truth, most of us, if we have any courage, if we have what we call integrity, when we know the truth, then we take different actions than when we don't know the truth. And if we're prepared to take different actions, then of course we want to know the truth. If we are not prepared to take different actions, then it's like, no, let me not know the truth because, well, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to take a different action. And so that's a really wonderful thing to know. Oh, wow, I am stuck right where I'm stuck because I'm comfortable being stuck right where I'm stuck. I don't really want to move forward. And that could be for whatever reason. I don't think I can. I'm afraid of what it might be. And so that's the reason why in most of humanity's growth, most of us have to suffer pretty intensely before we're ready to change. It's sort of the bane, I think, of human existence, or it's our nemesis, this whole suffering thing. Most of us, if we suffer badly enough, then we find the courage to say, okay, I'm willing to do something different. I'm willing to have a different understanding. I'm willing to know the truth, and I'm willing to take different action. And so, for me, I think one of the most enlightening and empowering things about recognizing that you can know the truth is that you suddenly have the power to make a new choice. You have the power to decide that you're going to do something based on actual information that you know is true, rather than just sort of flailing around in the dark. And you don't have to wait until you're suffering. You don't have to hit bottom, as they say, in recovery. You just go, oh, I don't like this situation. Let me find out what the truth is here and what would actually give me what I want better. What's the truth and how do I move forward in that way? That's a very, very empowering understanding and idea. And that's why the name of the show here that you're listening to is Conscious Co-Creating, a focus on personal empowerment and spiritual evolution. Because that's really what I want to do here in the show. I want to focus on what is it that we can do every day in our lives. It doesn't have to be mysterious. It doesn't have to be esoteric. What can we do just in our daily lives to really empower ourselves to live the lives that we want to live? What can we do to grow in the way that we want to grow? And thanks to UR Radio, we get to have that discussion. And thanks to Facebook, you can interact with me on the Conscious Co-Creating online radio page. And we can actually have a conversation about what does that mean, personal empowerment? What does that mean, spiritual evolution? What does it mean to consciously co-create our lives? And I say co-create instead of just create, because we're never alone. you know? There's always other people in your lives. There's nature, there's thought, there's feeling. There's your lineage from your family. There's your what's going on inside of your body. We're never alone. Each of us is a spirit, and that spirit, that soul, whatever you call that life force that's in us, that's very different from the personality. And so the whole idea of conscious co-creating is about empowering ourselves to know what our truth is and then take action based on what that truth is. And so it's very exciting to know that there is a way to know what truth is. And it's very, very simple. It's called muscle testing. And you can learn how to do it lots of places. You can do it with another person. You can learn to do it by yourself. And you can actually know the truth about anything. It's very empowering and enlightening to actually have that understanding. And it brings us right up against our fear of actually having power, our fear of actually going, oh my goodness, to be that clear, to say, I know what I'm doing. I know how I'm doing it. I know what the next step is. And then to take that, I think a lot of us feel much more comfortable saying, I don't know. Or we're, you know, it's sort of a, there's comfort in that quiet misery of being confused instead of really owning the power of knowing and then taking action on what we know. Very heady stuff in one way, but in another way, it's so very simple. You can know the truth about anything. Do you want to know if this job you're getting ready to take, you're going to be happy in it? Well, you can't ask, am I going to be happy in it? Because that's in the future, and you can't know that. But what you can say is, this job that I'm looking at, is it beneficial for me in terms of my happiness to pursue this, to go forward with this? It's just a way of putting the question or the statement in present tense. That's really how you find out the truth. You don't ask about what will be. You ask about what is. Does this serve me to do this? Rather than, will this serve me to do this? Did such and such do this? Did such and such intend that? Rather than, you know, trying to find out what it means to you in the future or what they might be trying to get out of it. All of that hasn't happened yet. But what has happened, what is present moment or anything in what we think of as the past, that truth can be known. That truth can be known. Think about that. Anything you want to know, whether it's in your personal life, your professional life, whether it's in what you heard on the news tonight, whether it's something your mother told you when you were 4 years old, whatever truth is that you want to know, you can discover it simply by releasing the fear of knowing the truth and learning how to formulate a question in a way that's more like a statement rather than a question, and figuring out how to do kinesiology. It's a very simple thing. The thing is, when you're going to ask questions with kinesiology, you have to actually be in integrity. You can't be asking the question out of fear or greed or lust or any of the what we think of as lower emotions. You will not get an accurate answer. You have to be in integrity. If you're willing to do that, you can know the truth about anything. And on that note, I'm going to play another song by my favorite group here, Here to Hear. And the name of this song is Time for a Change. And that's really what I think we're doing here. That's really what the show is about for me. It's time for a change. It's time to know the truth. It's time to be happy and joyful to know the truth, rather than afraid of knowing the truth. It's time to really feel and own the power that we have when we claim it.
Where my heroes at? Where my soldiers at? Where my presidents and citizens and all that jazz? Where my artists at? Where my dreamers at? Where my activists and hippie chicks and I know that we can do it, we can change the world. I know that we can be it, we can be the change we like to see. Can change the world. I know that we can be it. We can be the change we like to see. It's time for change. It's time for change. Where my farmers at? My corporations at? Where my scientists and pharmacists, my dealers at? Where my mothers at? Where my fathers at? Where my human beings with beating hearts? Let's rock this track. I know that we can do it. We can do change the world. I know that we can be it. We can be the change we like to see. I know that we can do it. We can change the world. I know that we can be it. We can be the change we like to see.
Louisa Dyer again with Conscious Co-Creating at UR Radio, and we are talking about personal empowerment and spiritual evolution. And so I hope you're enjoying this so far. I'm really asking for your patience as I learn how to work this equipment. This is my first night out, and it's a trial run. And so we've got a few more minutes here, and I just wanted to talk a little bit more about the possibilities of knowing what your truth is, knowing what actually serves you. And I really just wanted to leave everybody with a way to think about what it might be like to actually have the courage to know what your truth is and give yourself permission to not act on it if you don't feel ready, or to give yourself permission to know what your truth is and then give yourself permission to find out what's the most beneficial way for you to act on that truth. Because there's layers and layers and layers of truth. So, for example, you could find out that the truth is that it really serves you financially to pursue something. And you could find out that the truth is, it doesn't serve your spirit to pursue that particular thing. And so now you have a way of looking at, wow, here is a choice. And maybe what I really want to focus on is my financial well-being. And I'm going to set my spiritual evolution aside for the moment. Or maybe you can say, wow, that serves me financially, but it doesn't serve my growth. So I wonder if there's another path. Is there something, a way that I could proceed that actually serves me in both of those ways? And so there's never an end to what you can discover. And the only fear that is really present is the fear of not knowing what's there, the fear of having to do something you don't want to do. And you don't ever have to do that. All that requires is permission to get more information, giving yourself the permission. Okay, I found out that this is the truth, and now I'm going to give myself permission to find out more information about that. And there's really there's nobody standing there holding the whip saying, okay, now you found out this, and so now you have to do this. It isn't like that. What quantum physics has finally proven is what mystics and sages and prophets have known forever, that everything in the universe is interdependent on everything else in the universe. And so everything can change. It actually does, moment to moment to moment. So what's true for you right this moment, that might not have been true for you 3 days ago. It might not be true for you 3 days from now. And so when you're questioning and you're getting used to the idea of knowing what your truth is, what you do is you wind up really opening your perception. You open your perspective, because truth, most of the time, is quite subjective, and it shifts, it changes. So there's nothing to be afraid of except yourself. And you can get by that simply by giving yourself permission to know your truth and to get more information about it and to act on it in whatever way you decide is the best way for you to act on it. And so I just wanted to start this show with the idea that truth is knowable, always. All truth is knowable. And I really make that distinction when I say that. I don't say everything is knowable. I say all truth is knowable. Because there's a whole lot of things that we think about, that we worry about, that we contemplate, that are simply not true. And that they simply don't exist. It's like that worry is about, a lot of times worry is about thinking about something in the future. And something in the future is just a potentiality. It doesn't actually exist. So you can't ask questions and expect to get truth about something that doesn't exist. And so that's why I'm very careful to say, you can know the truth about anything, rather than saying you can know anything. And so, again, that's in one way, that might be semantics, but it really isn't, because I've worked with so many people who attempt to know about what doesn't exist. And that's never going to work. That's never going to happen. So, but you can know the truth about anything that exists or that has ever existed. And so that's the focus of our show tonight. And next Thursday night is actually the official beginning of this show. And I want to invite everybody to tell your friends, come join us on Facebook. I really hope that you continue to join us for Conscious Co-Creating, a focus on personal empowerment and spiritual evolution. In my worldview, that's what we're all doing. That's where we are in our world. That's where we are in our souls. That's where we are in our heart. You know, it feels to me like that's the most important thing. And so that's what I want to focus on. And I hope you do as well. So please join me every Thursday evening from 8 to 9 for Conscious Co-Creating on UR Radio. And we're going to have a good time. And I'm going to leave you with a song by the Indigo Girls called Love Will Come to You. And I'm going to actually play with some music and check out this equipment for the next hour. So I'm going to make sure there's some really cool music coming up for the next hour. I hope you stay and listen. Thank you so much. I've had a great time, and I will hopefully see you next week. Take good care.